Doctor, in the book, Passport to Magonia, it is, Magonia, of course, is a magical land in French folk tales. Is that how you got the name for the book?
Yes. I was, after I wrote my first two books, and I wrote those books out of a feeling that I was, I had a collection of data that was filtered, that was verified, and that I should make it available to other researchers. So once I had done that, I felt, certainly felt a sense of relief that I had at least done my duty to my fellow researchers. And then I started looking at some of the things that didn't fit. And one of the things that, you know, I had to ask is, when did this actually start? Every UFO book starts with, you know, on June 24, 1947, Kenneth Arnold saw something about Ukraine and so on. Well, that's not really true. I mean, we have data from the 30s and the 20s and from 1896 and 1897 all over the United States, and then you can go back in history. And many people don't want to hear that. They want to hear that this is, you know, if you follow the first-level extraterrestrial theory, then ETs, you know, discovered us when the atom bomb went off and they came here to study us. Well, that's not what the data says. So when did it start? And I found, an enormous wealth of data going back to medieval times and even before. Of course, as you go back in history, you lose the cultural context and it's harder to understand the data. But in medieval times, there were records, especially the records of the church, that were kept very, very carefully about strange phenomena. And from those records, we've been able to find out how many comets were seen, the frequency of meteors, even you know, other natural cycles. And the term Magonia came from the writings of the Archbishop of Lyon in the 9th century. He was writing against the superstitions of the time. He was a skeptic. And he said that one of the things that people believed around Lyon was that there was a magical land above the clouds, which is where the cloud ships came from. Well, what cloud ships? Well, those were obviously physical things that people saw coming from the sky. Not only that, but there were people coming out of those cloud ships. And he said one day the crowd in Lyon brought him four people, three men and one woman, in chains that they had captured coming out of one of those cloud ships, and they thought they were witches. So they were going to kill them. And he preached to the crowd that this could not, that they could not have come out of a cloud ship because there was no such thing. And of course, he was arguing as a theologian that witches did not have enough power to affect the weather and atmospheric phenomena, that this was something that would take away from the majesty of God. And that was his argument against the superstitions of the time and against Magonia. And I thought it was such a great story that I called my book Passport to Magonia.
Oh, and wonderful. Wonderful. And in Messengers of Deception, another fine work by you, the change was occurring where you were shifting from what conventional ufologists believe UFOs may be and extraterrestrials into this other area where you began to tie in psychic phenomena, angels, ghosts, occults. You began to see that. What was it that really started that shift for you?
Well, it's the realization that we deal with a phenomenon that is extraordinarily complex. And again, I start from what the witnesses tell me, not from hypotheses.
Right.
The hypotheses have to come later. But, you know, these people are sincere. As you know, I've traveled all over the world. I've spoken to people on several continents, traveled all over the U.S. And I try to listen carefully to what people tell me. It's a very complex phenomenon. So if you let me, or if you let anybody select data for a particular theory, of course you can prove anything you want. The problem is we shouldn't be doing that. We should take the whole phenomenon with all its complexity. And it includes reports from people, for example, that strange phenomena have happened in connection or before or immediately after what they perceived as a UFO sighting. And that includes a change in consciousness. And, of course, by then, I was introduced to the SRI program on remote viewing, and I'd always been interested in the phenomena of consciousness and parapsychology. Mm-hmm. And that is definitely part of the overall phenomenon. So that opens a whole other layer of study of and possible hypotheses about UFOs.